Can I get a, this is Courtney Dickinson, you're listening to Lonesome Highway?
Yeah.
I think you've done one of these for me before, but I got a fresh one.
It's been a while ago.
Yeah. Nice. Thank you.
Lonesome Highway, your home for unsigned country music artists.
Mary Kate Farmer drinks with the boys.
You could tell by the way that she walked in. You could tell by the way that she danced. She was looking for something, anything besides romance.
Welcome to Lonesome Highway. I'm your host, Wes Everett, my gorgeous, lovely assistant,
AJ Green,
and our lovely, wonderful guest,
Courtney Dickinson.
How you been?
Good. How about you?
Doing good.
Good.
So you just had a new single. That's right. We're going right into that. You just dropped a new single.
Yes, about a month and a half ago, I guess now.
Nice.
So super excited, yeah.
So tell us about it. Tell us about it for those who haven't heard it yet. They will hear it.
Yes. So this one is called Convenience Store, and I've had it for years, and I just never put it out. I always had plans of putting it out next, but it seemed like every time I did, I'd write something, and then I'd be like, no, I want to do this one instead. So I kind of waited, but this one is one of my favorites. It truly is. It's kind of a fun play on words for convenience store and comparing it to when it really could be any type of a relationship. For this song, it was a romantic relationship, but it can be for anybody, you know. There's so many people nowadays with friendships, with family, that they only call you when they want you or they need your help. It's never like a, to see how you're doing, and that's really what this song is about. So I feel like even if you can't relate to it necessarily in a relationship form, it's definitely something everyone can relate to.
That's true. That is true.
Yes. With females, that kind of relationship always happens where you're like, you have your close-knit group of friends, but then you have that one friend that's like never around unless they need something.
Oh, definitely.
And you're like, homie, I don't even know you like that.
Yeah, and in this song, we wrote it more so about a guy, but I mean, even relationships, every relationship that happens, but I feel like with females too, it's a lot harder for females to not get that text from the guy, you know, when they want something versus, I'm sure guys experience it too, but I just feel like girls might experience it a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much on the head right there. So what have you been up to with 2020 being the crazy year it was?
Yeah, a lot of time online, which I hate, but I love. I do not like spending time on my phone. I just don't. And I think that's what really stopped me from doing more than I did when I was a teenager. I feel like I would have gotten a lot further if I would have been more on social media and posting stuff, but I just hated it. But in 2020, it forced me to do it, and I enjoyed it to an extent. Like, I really did enjoy it. I enjoyed getting to know people more and doing these lives, and because when I didn't have shows, I was like, I don't really know what to do. So with all this time, I started doing lives, and it's been really fun to do kind of some virtual shows, and it's kind of become a part of a once a month thing for me anyway. I always do one a month now, and I think I'll continue to do that just because there's so many people that support you online that can't come see you, and they want to, and it's just that they can't because they're either too far away or you're not doing a show there. I mean, I even have some people in Australia, so obviously they're probably not going to be able to see me. So 2020 was interesting, and 2021 has been kind of interesting too.
Yeah, it's that uneasy, is it safe to go anywhere?
I mean, it's just adapting to an extent, but also getting back to how 2019 was. I feel like 2020 was so just shut down in general that everyone was like, all right, what can we do? Let's figure out how can we make this not suck. Whereas 2021 is kind of, okay, so what do I do now? Do I do what I did in 2019 or do I do what I did in 2020? So I've been getting to do some shows though, so that's been good because I know a lot of people haven't been able to. So I've been doing about one or two a month, which doesn't seem like a lot, but
after zero
for the climate it's in, it's really nice. It's very nice. So
yeah, especially after zero shows a month,
right? Yeah. And it's still, I mean, some venues are still kind of hesitant, so May no shows, but June's crazy. June's absolutely insane.
I feel like the arts were the craziest, the one thing that got affected the most. It's like the arts, the performance arts. Mm-hmm. People are not out buying art because it's not a necessity. You know, it's just like, but then at the same time, people are really getting into like doing things themselves. So
oh, definitely.
You know, so it's like catch 22 on that one. But
and also the arts didn't have like a financial backbone,
right?
That, you know, because everybody was just like, oh, well, we'll bail this company out or we'll bail this pod out. But then art is just like, oh, I don't know, figure it out.
And it really kind of, the bad thing is, I mean, obviously I was able to at least get the stimulus, which was nice, but they had all sorts of things for other companies like you're talking about. But as an artist, it was really hard because 2019 for me was kind of a dead year anyway, and not bad, but I graduated college in 2019. I got married in 2019. 2019 was a huge year for me personally, not necessarily professionally.
Right.
And in order to get some of those loans that they were giving out, you had to show that you lost more in 2020 than you did 2019. But for me, technically, I made more in 2020 than 2019.
Oh, wow.
But if they would have said go back to 2018, that would have been a different story. So it was, you're right, with the arts, it was just kind of this weird, like, it's like, man, if I would have known that, I would have just, you know, gone crazy in 2019 and never slept and just done as much as I could,
right?
So that I could have.
Yeah, and then it's like, oh, well, hey.
Yeah. So yeah, you're right. It was kind of this, and there's all these things about save the stage, because you're right, venues mm-hmm. just didn't get all arts really, but venues really just, I mean, because at least me as a musician, like, obviously it's not near as profitable, but I can do virtual shows. I can get virtual tips. It's not going to be much, but right. I don't have cost. It's literally me turning on my phone. So it's, yeah. it weighs out, but venues, like, they can't do anything. Mm-hmm. Right. So I just, yeah, it was a hard year for a lot of people.
It really was.
But I mean, I feel like a lot of artists, like yourself, got to work on things that they've been meaning to work on.
Definitely.
They got to record albums and EPs and singles, and just they got to do things that they've kind of put on the back burner. I mean, it was like, you know, it was really horrible for the music industry last year, but then at the same time, it turned out to be a little bit of a blessing.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, and I feel like if people can get through, if they got through 2020, and if they can get through 2021, I feel like the people that did stick it out, 2022 is going to be good, because, I mean, you have all this pent up music and everything, and when the world opens, it's going to explode, I mean, because people are ready to go back to concerts.
Yes. Right. And I think, you know, I've said this on other podcasts, and I feel like the bright side of this whole thing, the silver lining, is 2020 sucked, but music and art comes from those trauma and those dark periods where, you know, as soon as things open up, you're going to have new music, you're going to have new bands even, because they're just like, hey, we're together now because we have to be.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's definitely changed. I've seen bands break up. I've seen people start new things because of it. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. I'm kind of excited to see it, kind of nervous, because I don't know what new normal is going to be. But like anything, we'll all adjust, we'll adapt and figure it out, and hopefully there's in-person shows and not just virtual shows.
Exactly. But you picked up a skill in quarantine, right?
I guess. I don't know. Did I?
Playing guitar?
Oh, yeah. Sure. I thought, I also started redoing furniture because I was bored and needed money. So there was that, too. So I was like, which one are we talking about?
I was trying to segue into that.
But yeah, guitar-wise, I did. My mom and my dad started paying for guitar lessons for me when I was 12, and I hated it. I don't know. I have always loved the writing portion and the singing portion, entertaining, but guitar, I did it because I had to. It never was fun for me. So all throughout high school, I just really didn't do it. I just paid a guitar player because I didn't feel like learning. But then quarantine happened, and I only option was to do virtual shows. Well, I knew I'd be out $100 if I had to pay my guitar player to come do a virtual show, and with no money coming in, I didn't want to do that. So I figured with all my found time, I would learn to play these songs, which, I mean, I had played guitar before when I was in high school. I used to play for the youth worship band. Now, was I good? No, but I played, you know, the basic chords and sang the song so they could have worship. So it wasn't really, I guess, learning it. It was getting back to it and getting familiar and sucking it up and actually enjoying it. So I actually enjoyed it for the first time, and I think that's the difference, is I always could play, but I hated it. And now I enjoy it.
But it's like you have a personal connection to those songs now, because not only did you write them, but you've also thought about the composition of how you want the music to go with the words. So it's almost like you're not sitting there playing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star over and over again. That's probably why you hated it.
Yeah.
It's like these are now your babies.
Right, yeah.
And you're playing your baby.
And I think it was that I've written it with people that are so good. Like the guy that I wrote See You Here with and Freedom, two of the songs I'll play, he plays every single instrument. He literally played every single instrument on those songs. I think he hired out drums and something else just because he wanted a live version. But when you write a song with him, and then he's playing it in front of you, and you have to go home and play it, you're like, why'd you use these hard chords? Like, so it is a different, it is, like, it's my song, but it's still hard because they do, like, good chords and, like, good stuff that I'm like, if it was me, I would have made this way easier.
Yeah. But, I mean, I guess that's good. It checks and balances, though, because it kind of keeps you honest. It kind of keeps you from just taking the easy way out.
Oh, I still try to find the easy way out. I capo everything and put it in the key of G if I can. That's why my guitar is tuned down half a step, because I didn't want to play Convenience Store in a weird key. I was like, we'll figure this out. So, no, I still take the easy way.
Lee Ellis, Backwoods Outlaw.
I'm a backwoods outlaw, raised to live off the land. Granddaddy taught us well about being a man. He raised us up to be tough, don't take no crap from anyone. So you best leave us alone. Backwoods outlaw, making our own shine. Backwoods outlaw, paint outside the line. Backwoods outlaw, living fancy free. Backwoods outlaw, don't tread on me. Some call us a roughneck, long hair and tattoos. They just don't understand. We got feelings like you. We work hard to earn a dollar. We only trust our crew. Earn the right to be called brother, and that's a chosen few. Backwoods outlaw, making our own shine. Backwoods outlaw, paint outside the line. Backwoods outlaw, living fancy free. Backwoods outlaw, don't tread on me. Scars show my past and bad times. They stick with me forever till my name is etched in stone. Backwoods outlaw, making our own shine. Backwoods outlaw, paint outside the line. on risk.
Nothing wrong with that. That's adapting. That's what we were talking about.
I don't know if it's adapting. I think it's me taking the easy way, but that's fine.
So other than writing songs, obviously, and learning how to play the guitar, do you have any other hobbies that you're like really into right now?
I would say the furniture. The furniture has been fun. I've enjoyed that. It's been as a kid, I never really got, other than music, I never really got my artsy me out, because I can't draw. Like, I can't even draw a stick figure. You'll have to ask my friends and my husband when we play Pictionary. It's terrible. Like, I mean, terrible. But I think the furniture, I'm good at painting, and not like you are, like pretty painting, but like simple painting. And I think that's why I enjoyed the furniture, because I could sand it and paint it and stain it and make something that used to look ugly and old and turn it into something modern and pretty and something that people want. And it was a nice little side hustle to make a little extra money during quarantine, and I really enjoyed it, and I've tried to stay up with it, but the last few months have been a little busy. But I did start a page for it on social media. I mean, dedication, right? I mean, all I did was I made two posts, but but for some reason people keep following it, so I guess it seems interesting. But that's been a fun little hobby, and I just pick it up when I want to, and
that's cool.
I don't have to if I don't.
So. But there's something about saving something.
Like, yeah.
You can ask Wes. I do the same thing. I'll go and he sees a piece of junk, and I see a mannequin that can be turned into a lamp, and that's my mixed media side thinking. But like, I upscale all kind of old junk into furniture or sculpture or something. There's just something satisfying about nobody wanted that 2 days ago.
Right. Yeah. And I think what's cool too is that when people look at it, like some of this furniture I got a really nice set for next to nothing, and the way it was just kind of okay. Like, it, I mean, honestly, but yeah. They don't see, oh, this could look like this. So I think it's fun when you're the one that can see it, and then everyone talks about, oh my gosh, that's so nice. And I really started doing it out of necessity more so than fun originally. I started doing furniture in 2019 because when my grandmother had passed, my uncle actually gave us like a lot of her furniture. Because that was when we were getting married, and we couldn't afford to go buy all new furniture. And it was old, and it wasn't very pretty. So I was like, well, if we can't afford furniture, like brand new furniture, I'll just make it look nice. So that's where I learned. And then in doing it, I was like, man, this is actually kind of fun. And so then I think when it turned into, I can do it whenever I want to, it turned into more of a hobby instead of, I have to do this. Like,
right, it's no longer a job.
Right.
It's like, oh, this is fun for me, and it might make me some money. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So what's been your most fun and creative one that you've done?
I would say the one I just did not too long ago. It was two nightstands and a dresser, and I really wanted to keep it for myself really bad. But I decided not to because someone paid a lot for it, and I was like, yeah, it's okay. We'll find one and we'll do it again. But
I can always do that again.
But that one was really fun because it was pretty, and I think it's because of what I wanted. If I envisioned, you know, what my perfect bedroom set would be, so that was kind of fun. And it's just been fun to break up music a little bit, to, you know, when, because virtual is great, but sometimes it just, you need an outlet, and I know a lot of musicians will say their outlet is music, and it is, but sometimes you do need an outlet from music, too, because you can get two in your head, and two, so I think that's why I've enjoyed furniture, is because it's a nice outlet for when everything's a little too much. I can go be creative and not worry about someone judging me, whereas, you know, you're kind of judged a little bit in music, so furniture, if no one wants to buy it, okay, whatever, like, not hurting my feelings.
Right, that was my art therapy.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So hey, I'm just, well, basically people are paying me to have my own therapy. I like that idea. That makes it sound better.
100%. Like, yeah. I find myself listening to So I'm a hairstylist and I'm an artist, and I find myself listening to beauty videos on YouTube while I'm doing my art, and it's funny because I'm like, it always goes back.
Oh yeah.
It always goes back.
Well, I listen to music when I'm doing furniture. I mean, so yeah.
Right, and even though the activity I'm doing does break up the monotony of, you know, the same old every single time, you always have that outlet from your outlet.
Definitely. They're combined for sure.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I think if you get stuck in your rut of, you know, I'm a musician, this is what I do, eventually you get that whole, God, I gotta write another song.
Yeah.
I gotta do something else.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same thing with the podcast. You can ask her. I walk away from this thing at least once a week. I'm like, all right, I'm not messing with this week. I'm aggravated about something, and I just don't feel like messing with it.
Babe, I don't feel like doing podcasts.
Somebody offered me like $5,000. They can have the whole thing.
I'm like, okay.
And then a week later, I'm like, dude, we got to get more interviews in here. Come on, let's do this.
No, a week later, I'm like, so who are we interviewing tomorrow?
Definitely a roller
coaster. Oh, yeah, 100%.
For sure.
100%.
I feel like, I wouldn't know because I've never been there, but I feel like even when you are at the level of some of these other people that you, I guess you would call successful. What I call successful is that's their full-time job and they're making decent money. But I think they go through it too. I mean, I would assume that they have to, but I think especially when you're at a smaller level, and it's the facts of life. When you're at a smaller level, musician-wise, it's really hard because you want to give your everything, but you still got to make money, so you still got to, you know, do other things.
Right.
Do you hear the train?
There's the train.
I tried to wrap up talking real quick because I was like, they're going to cut this out.
Nah, we cut out what we can. If train's there, the train's there. Y'all enjoy the train that's going by.
It's our aesthetic.
That's right. What other studio are you going to go to? You're going to get a train in the background.
I don't know. This is cool, though. I love the brick.
Thank you. That was like when we were talking about how we redid everything. It was like, you know, I'm dropping things as I'm thinking.
Yeah.
No, but when we were talking about redoing all of this, I could tell you were like really into it because the furniture and the redoing and all that stuff. Like it's like totally fun. Like do you ever watch DIY by like channel for no reason?
I watch the channel where they flip houses, which I feel like I would really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, that's one of my dreams. I just want to flip a house. I think it'd be so fun. I mean, my husband's an electrician, my dad's a plumber, my mom is like this, like she sees it. I don't know how. I'm like, how do you see that? Like she's like, oh, let's do this. So I think it'd be fun, but. I don't think they're all on the same page with me.
Have you seen Flea Market Flip?
Oh yeah, that's cool.
100% watch that every time it comes on. I'm like,
that's super cool. I don't see that. It's really cool to see what other people see sometimes. Like some of that, I'd be like, what? How did you see what?
Look, I just want to know why everyone has to have a bar cart in New York.
Oh,
that's the first thing that gets sold every time.
We have one.
But
I mean, it was because it was super cheap online, and I was like, oh, we can put, like, you know, our drinks there, and have a little wine rack, and it was cute, and it was super, it was $40 on Facebook.
Yeah,
so.
But you think
these people... And had a granite countertop.
But you think these people complain about their shoebox apartments,
oh.
And then they put a bar cart right there, it's
in
like,
the middle?
Is that a necessity piece of furniture for you? Do you really need that bar cart that bad?
I guess our space was not a shoebox, so we had a little bit more room to deal with.
Courtney Dickinson, Convenience Store.
Yeah, I woke up to you 2 a.m. Can I come over text? I didn't bother texting back, so I guess you got the message. That ain't cool with me. If you think I'm just a late night roadside pull off, you better keep rolling down that lonely dark blacktop. That ain't cool with me. I'm not your 24 hours, 7 days, 7-11. No call, get and go. Always available. You're flying. mental dialogue. Slim Jim, Eminem, last chance, truck stop. Boy, have you lost your mind? You got a better chance of winning on that lottery ticket. Your odds are getting lucky, getting smaller by the minute. Yeah, boy, you lost your mind. You're crazy. I'm not your 24 hours, 7 days, 7-11. No gon' get and go. Always available. You're flying J, Speedway, Easy Mart, Circle K. You come and go. It's gone in a whim. You don't get what you want and go anymore. Baby, I'm not your convenience.
So let's get back to your inspirations. That's right. That's a horrible segue.
That was horrible.
Listen, my interview skills have gotten worse in 2020 quarantine.
Well, you probably haven't done any, right? Well, did you?
Not in-house.
We did like three-ish.
Virtual.
And no, we've done a ton virtual, but it's like...
How was that?
Horrible.
Yeah.
Because not everybody has a great microphone or camera, so it's like, and I'm going... Can I use this?
Oh, no. My favorite is when they eat.
Oh, they eat?
Oh, they eat. I'm like, dude.
While doing an interview?
You're an artist, and you're eating an apple.
Yes.
And I can hear every freaking crunch.
Yes.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, I've done that on a songwriting session after 2 hours, and I'm like, I'm hungry. I gotta go. But, like, I would never do that.
Oh, no. It was, like, in between, like, around the questions. I couldn't even cut it out. So,
like,
you know what? Y'all can deal with the train.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Interesting.
Well, anyways, you asked about inspiration. I got off again. 90s country, huge for me. Oh my gosh. I think we were talking about this earlier. All the women of 90s country just really inspired me. And I can't really tell you why. It was just all the music was so good. Shania, Trisha. I've started kind of doing more of these on my TikTok just because it's really the only avenue that people really will watch or listen. But Shadazy, I mean, like, I was obsessed with them, and that's not somebody that people really remember. Obviously,
everybody kind of went toward the Dixie Chicks.
Yeah.
But I was huge. I love Shadazy.
I love Shadazy too.
Tell you that right now.
Yeah, I was a Dixie Chick person.
Well, I mean, I liked them too. I did, but like. I don't know. I just love Shadazy.
Their harmonies.
Oh, yeah.
Their harmonies.
The Wreckers.
Yes.
There's so many, though, between 90s and 2000s that were so good. And the guys were, too. I just feel like that type of music was so inspirational. And I don't know that this is the case, but maybe that's why there's such an influx of artists right now, because those kids grew up listening to mm-hmm. that music. I'm very interested to see what will happen. Yeah. In 20 years from now, what we get from people listening to today's music, because I think it'll be completely different. But I think that's why. I mean, but I could be wrong. I don't know.
We could get more bro country.
I don't know. We could get some. There's no telling.
That hybrid.
There's no telling.
Well, you know, when Garth came on the scene, he really changed a lot. Are you a Garth fan?
Yeah, I am. I think Shania, for me, though... was just like,
yeah,
she took everybody away,
and she, like, she brought was, in that rock and roll,
she changed it.
Uh-huh.
I feel like, I don't know that this is the case, because Reba was huge too. There's so many people, but I feel like Garth was the poster guy, And I feel like Shania was the girl. I feel like they were the two big people that changed it. Mm-hmm. Like, that made new music different and popular.
And they were very polarizing, because it was like, either you really liked them or you were like, whoa, this is not country.
Yeah, definitely.
So
there were a lot of people that didn't like them.
Either. Right.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, because a lot of people were just like, Garth is ruining country, and it was like...
But really? What's funny is that nowadays, I see teenagers that listen to him and Shania. Mm-hmm. Like, even though they weren't alive when they were around, they're listening to them now. Like, so I feel like they stand at the test of time, because I see young girls singing Shania, and I'm like, how do you know who she is? Like...
We've got a rock band that did a cover of Garth's Thunder Rolls. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen it. It's all over YouTube right now. And Garth actually commented on them, if I was a rock guy, this is how I would have done that song.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
It was just so cool. I was like, man, that's awesome.
That's super cool. When they respond, that's awesome.
Yeah, because it's not often you get the response of the band you cover.
Yeah.
No. I wish Shania would comment on my TikTok video and sing her song.
Shania, if you're out there.
Please, comment. No, it's funny you're talking about inspirations. I could see why most 90s, because like we were talking about earlier, in the 90s they sang about like real things that were really country.
Yeah.
Whereas like this generation sings about things they think are country.
Right, yeah. I think a lot of it too is just today's mindset. I mean, 15 years ago, people really physically had to work a lot harder than we do today. And a lot of that is just luxury and the way the world has changed. And so people sang about it because it affected everybody. And it was, so I think a lot of it's just because the world's changed, but the music back then, still though, people that are in today's mindset, they can still relate to it. And I think that just speaks volumes about that type of music, which I don't understand why we don't put more of that out if it still is like resonating. But I guess it's not popular. I don't know.
Yeah.
People say I still have a little 90s. I don't know. But.
You do, but that's a definite compliment,
in
my opinion.
I always had 90s. Always.
90s was where it was, especially country.
Oh yeah, 90s was like the baby boom of country.
Yeah. If we were talking rock, it was that horrible grunge stuff that we don't care about.
Excuse me, sir, I like me some Nirvana.
Anyway, this is Lonesome Highway. We're not talking about rock and roll right now. So you said you have dates coming up for tour shows.
Yes.
Tell us, where can we find you and when?
Well, all over the place. June's really crazy. So, Iowa. And then there's more local show in Georgia. It's actually on my birthday. So, I'll be having a birthday show. Nice. It's in Mansfield, Georgia.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, it's Marina. We played there a couple months ago, and it was really, really fun. So, I'm excited to go back. So, June's kind of crazy for me, and July and August are pretty good, too. Don't have anything after August at the moment, but I think a lot of people are just kind of waiting. So things could pop up between now and then. So they can find all that information on my website, which is CourtneyDickinson.com, or either on my Facebook page, which is Courtney Dickinson Music. I do have a Bands in Town page, but I think people just more so look on Facebook and the website more so than the Bands in Town. I just did it because it was easier to put the little widget on my website. So that's really the only reason I created a page.
We were talking about Reverb Nation earlier, and I feel like Bands in Town is kind of getting to the same place where it's, I don't know, I had it for a while and it just never really updated like it was supposed to. Nobody was, there's a show near you and it was in, Podunk, West Alabama. And I'm like, how is that near me? What?
So, I never really used it in the, looking for concerts more so. Mm-hmm. When I made the show tab on my website, there was a couple of different ones offered through the service where it was easier, because I'm not a coder. I do not know how to build websites, nor can I afford somebody that does that. So I had to find widgets that you could just literally plug in that even still goes over my head, but I can do it. And Bands in Town was one of them. There was a few of them.
Yeah.
And that one was the easiest, cleanest, simple. You can just put it on your website and it shows all the shows and the events. Because that was a complaint for a while, is that I couldn't figure out how to go in there and put shows because I had to do all this coding stuff. And I was like, I'm going to go the easy way out. Easy way out and do Bands in Town.
Dawson Edwards, Raised on Red.
Good Lord could have chose any color to paint the sky when the sun sets it. A good book, yeah, he made sure it's on every word that was ever his. It comes right before white and blue. I ain't never heard it any other way. I'm talking about red, red on the back of my neck. Red clay stained on my Chevrolet. Caked on these boots to the pack of red man that my pawpaw chewed. That red, the red that runs through my blood. The one that I'm damn proud of. Man, I love that I was raised on red. Yeah, raised on red. Don't get me wrong, I love a green tractor. Ain't nothing runs like a deer. And I was baptized in a little white chapel, just like everybody else around here. Red, red on the back of my neck. Red clay stained on my Chevrolet. Caked on these boots to the pack of red man that my pawpaw chewed. That red, the red that runs through my blood. The one that I'm damn proud of. Man, I love that I was raised on red. Yeah, raised on red. It'll be pumping through my veins till the day they put me in that grave. Red.
And the bad part is I do code websites. That was, I learned it in high school. I taught myself through college and all that. And even now, there's still some, like if I go from WordPress to Vistaprint or any of the other ones, there are codes that just do not work. Because even though it's written the same way, you got to have this extra little dash or backslash or some odd little thing. And it's like, it works over here it doesn't.
See, that's just over my head completely.
It's getting there for me, too.
I have no idea. I'm a copy and paster.
Yep. Easy way out.
Yeah. That's the new motto of my life.
So is that going to be the next track?
I was about to say, you watch. She's going to go home, and she's going to write a song called Easy Way Out.
You know, I might should, because I literally try. I mean, that is that's what I do. I like to save time so I can do more. So I try to, you know, that's a good idea. Maybe I will.
Nice. You heard it first here.
Yeah,
she's going to dedicate it to AJ.
Well, Miss Courtney, I appreciate you sitting in. Last question, what are your three goals for the next year, 12 months?
Oh gosh, that's so hard. Any other year, I'd probably have like realistic goals. You know, that's one thing I really have not even set for myself for this year, just because of how rocky 2020 was and so just out of ordinary. I would say I'm probably going to do three that seem logical and like I can do it no matter what. Spend more time on social media, do more lives, and really try to grow my following. Another goal would I'd love to do more shows. Do I think that's possible? Maybe. Time will tell. We'll see. And I guess number three would just be write some more music and get some stuff recorded so that when the world does open back up, I will be fully stocked and ready to go. Because for a lot of people, 2020 was great for them for writing. For me, it wasn't. So it kind of put me not necessarily behind, but a place where I feel like I got to get some more out. And the only reason it was bad is because I don't do well virtual writing. I can do a concert virtual. I can talk to people on Zoom or whatever, no problem. But when it comes to writing a song, I hate it. Like, virtually, because I'm one of those people, I feed off the energy of the room. Uh-huh. I need to write. I need to bounce off ideas. Like, I need to see expressions. That's just how I write. And unfortunately, that hurt me in 2020 because there weren't many people that were willing to do in-person writes. I did a few virtual, but like I said, for me, I was like, can this be over? Because I'm not as creative, and it's like it's harder for me, and it takes the fun out. Whereas when I'm in the room, it doesn't feel like I'm working. It's fun.
Yeah.
Whereas virtually, it felt like I was working. Yeah. So I think those would be three. Write more, get more recorded, and just grow more following and do more shows. That's kind of, I'd love to say other goals, but I don't necessarily know if they're even realistic for 2021.
Yeah. I understand that, and you know, here's to hoping everything opens back up, does something other than what it has been doing.
Definitely.
And we can get out on the road and actually do some stuff.
For sure. I'm excited to see what it brings, because it's got to go up from here. So
definitely. Well, Courtney, thank you so much.